to Adventure in Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the Adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is Pipe Man here on the Adventures Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I'm very excited about our next guest because I am an old school thrash metalhead, and we have with us Tim from the thrash metal band Timo. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I was listening to your music, and damn, that is definitely thrash metal, and I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's fun to, I don't know, I've always been a huge fan of Megadeth. We all have, huge fan of Slayer and all that. And those bands kind of rubbed off on us a little bit.
You know, it's funny, and you mentioned Megadeth, but you performed as Megadeth at a Halloween show. Tell us about that.
Oh, that was good times before the pandemic. It was at the Starlight Room in Edmonton, and each band had to go as a band. We had a Pantera, we had a Nirvana, no Metallica, surprisingly, which kind of blew my mind. But we decided to go as Megadeth.
We can't have them there with Megadeth, right?
Yeah, there would have been a feud, I guess. And then we'd have to go on stage together and make up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we pretty much, our set list was mainly all P-Cell songs. I don't know how that happened. That wasn't a coincidence. We decided we had The Conjuring learned, we had Wake Up Dead learned, and Devil's Island, and we decided we wanted to do My Last Words as well. So it just ended up being a P-Cells tribute.
Nice. And then, you know, one of my favorite ever all-time songs, okay? Now, I go back to, I saw Metallica in the beginning in 1981, okay?
Oh, you're lucky.
So we used to, you would go to a show, there were like 25 of us, and then you would go over to sometimes the band's house or one of the other bands on the ticket, and you went and partied all night long. It was out, you know, out in L.A. during the height of it, and the whole house would line up and blast Whiplash and Headbang, and so I saw something about, you have a song on this new album, I believe, that is like your version of a Whiplash type of song. Not that it's Whiplash, but that type of party song like that.
I think every band needs that song. It's just, you need that anthem.
Absolutely.
But you got to live that back in 1981. That is awesome.
Oh, yeah. So
I like to get to meet those guys and
I was just saying on the last interview, because it came up, and since we were talking about Megadeth there, yeah, I actually met Dave Mustaine back then, and he gave me his business card. I wish I still had it. It said Metallica Power Metal Dave Mustaine, because there was no such thing as thrash metal yet.
No, no. Oh, that's amazing.
Right? That's wild.
Is he a down-to-earth guy, or was he?
No, he was totally
cool. As they said he was.
No, he was totally cool, but we were all crazy, you know what I mean? So it was like, I mean, listen, I was like 15, I think, you know. So it was kind of cool, you know. And they were only like Metallica and Megadeth and all those people, they're only like a few years older than me, like 3 or 4. So it's kind of wild because back then it was like they were almost like big brother of metal.
you know? No, that's amazing. Small world.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it was so cool because, and you know, I never thought of it that way before, but that was what it was like because at this particular show, as an example, and this stuff happened all the time, you know, he just came up and talked to me after the show and handed me his business card because it was all like, you didn't have what you have now. There was all self-promotion. Like Motley Crue, they were the kings of self-promotion. There was not a telephone pole anywhere in L.A. that didn't have their flyer stapled to it.
Back then, you had to really be creative, too. It wasn't like you could go online and make a Facebook ad. You had to really think outside the box to get your name out there.
No doubt. And you had to go and like drive all over the place. And, you know, you couldn't just sit back and go on the computer and go, boom, you know,
boom, there's my album ad.
And then we had the tape trading days. So, you know, that was really cool. That was our version of Spotify.
See, I wish I was alive in those times. I wish I could live the tape trading days. Like, that just sounds more exciting. Like,
oh, it was awesome. You know, you sit there and it's like, here's the best part. You would get like a demo, like Metallica's demo. But it had been recorded over like 50 times. So it sounded kind of like Whiplash would be like, ooh. But you didn't give a crap, man. It was like, oh my god, I have the Metallica demo tape. You know, it was like
back
you were
then,
the coolest dude ever.
Oh, those times sounded so awesome. Like
it was fun. I was
born in 89. I made it into the ass end of the 80s.
There you go.
I didn't know what was going on.
But you know what? It is funny how stuff is today, because, you know, I was just talking about this. Back then, if you, like, started to get a little bigger beyond your 25-people audience, then, you know, everybody would, like, boo you and you were a poser and stuff like that. And it's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool nowadays. I can go to a metal festival and there's 100,000 people there. They're metalheads there for that festival. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Like metal, it just feels like home. It's a big family. Like you never have to worry about going to a metal festival and getting judged on anything. Like you just show up and be yourself.
And look, thrash metal was even mentioned on Cobra Kai. Did you know about that?
No.
Okay, so the latest season of Cobra Kai, they mentioned Metallica and Exodus. And, you know, they were like, Exodus is like a poor man's Metallica or something. It was Exodus was a shitty Metallica. But
no.
Yeah, but Gary Holt, what a pro, man. He came out and he just laughed about it. And he was like, hey, at least we got mentioned. You know, like, because think of that. Getting mentioned, Exodus getting mentioned, and the dude talked about Bonded by Blood being, like, the greatest album. And that is one of my favorite all-time albums ever.
Same here.
Yeah.
I had a Piranha cranked just this morning.
Nice. I love it. I just saw them a couple months ago. Like, I was on festival tour here in the States, and they played at one of the festivals. It was pretty awesome.
They put on an amazing show. I really love their new album too.
Yeah, it's old school. That is going. I think it's one of their best albums in years.
Yeah, it's a fight like with that one and Tempo of the Damned. Tempo of the Damned has always had a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah, that's a badass one too.
I'll just have to sit down and listen to them all again. Like, my favorite albums change from week to week.
Yeah, there you go.
Because they're all good.
It's, you know, the older I get, the harder it is to choose. Even to choose, like, a favorite band. Like, when you were younger, you know, you always had a favorite band. It would change, but you had one. And then it's like, somebody asked me, well, who's your favorite? And it's like,
that's a tough question.
I'm like, I could give you my top six.
My top six may change. Like,
exactly.
One might be at one week. And yeah, I'm always switching between Megadeth, Metallica, Slayer,
yes.
Testament. Like, I don't have a solid favorite. It's just like whatever I'm in the mood for that day or that week.
Well, that's what metal's all about, isn't it? It is about mood and what you're in the mood for. And it, like, when you listen to stuff like this, it changes your mood. Like, there's so many people out there that think of metal or even thrash metal in a negative way. And I just tell them, you know, it pumps me up. It makes me feel positive. Like, people think it's negative. It's not. It makes you feel great. It gets those endorphins going. It's funny because I'm also a motivational speaker, and I will blast Slayer on the way to go give a seminar because it'll get me all pumped and amped up.
It gets that energy going. Like,
yeah.
I can't just sit and relax and listen to Slayer. I need to get moving. I need to, if I'm ever doing like cleaning or anything like that, or anything physical, I have to put on Slayer or something fast.
And it has to be loud, okay? Like, I don't get people, yeah. You know, there's some people I know, and I'll give them crap for it. Like, yeah, don't turn it up above 2, but they say they like it. I'm like, if you like metal, you can't listen to metal at 2.
No. It has to be at least 5. Yeah. And that's pretty modest.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, especially when it's analog, you got to crank for that.
No doubt about it. I remember, okay, so I had this badass stereo system when it was like a cool thing instead of just an Alexa or something, when I had this a B&K receiver. And this thing was a $10,000 receiver. It would be worth like $20 today probably. And but I used to invite people over my house just to listen to how cool the sound was on this sound system I had.
Was it tube or solid state?
I think it was tube, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then I had this whole surround sound, and I used to have people sit on my sofa, and I would play, you know in the movie Top Gun when they do the flyby? So I would I would play that, and people would freaking duck.
It actually spilled their coffee, like the guy in Top Gun.
No doubt. Oh, man.
I love that scene.
Totally. So
it would be that one guy you messed with.
So the name of your album, I love, The Art of a Maniac.
Thank you.
Okay, that sounds thrash metal even. Like, one of my favorite bands also ever is Exciter.
Yeah.
And so instantly there was familiarity to me because of Heavy Metal Maniac. So The Art of a Maniac, I mean, that's just like, that name says thrash metal.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always tough naming an album, and that was one that just kind of, it just came out. Because we were writing the song, The Art of a Maniac, and we, you know, of course, I went through many variations, like The Art of, I can't even remember, The Art of a Madman, or Art of a, I can't even remember.
Yeah, and it wouldn't even be the same, because maniac is like the perfect word.
Yeah, it's ruthless sounding, and we wrote that song and we finished up the rest of the songs, and that just felt like the one title that summed everything up. It's like, this album's about mental health, it's about destruction, it's about social media abuse. It's just an all-around destructive record. It's
love it.
About, you know, there's self-harm, and then there's also world harm, and it's really relevant to what's going on. Like, we started writing it before the pandemic, but you know, with everything going on, it's hoping it'll help people get through these times.
You know, what's pretty wild is in the past year and a half of this pandemic, I'm doing interviews with bands that are releasing new music, and a lot of the music was written before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like prophetic. Like, it's wild because it's so apropos for what we're experiencing.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, you'd think it'd be the other way around. Like, it'd be a lot of music written during the pandemic and about the pandemic. But no, I think things were strained before this all happened. I think everyone was on edge, and this is just icing on the cake.
Yep, this is kind of like, here's the way I'd like to put it, okay? They were just about to go to the box for roughing, and somebody just came and sideswiped everybody.
That is a good way of putting it. Definitely feels that way.
Right? I mean, and even now, okay, I was saying this earlier. Jesus Christ, if you would have talked to me in March of 2020 and said I'd still be talking about this right now in January of 2022, I couldn't even conceive that.
No, when this first happened, I honestly thought like it would be over by July 2020. I'm like, oh, it'll burn itself out. Like hot air will come and, you know, it kills cold viruses and flu viruses. I'm like, oh, it's just another cold virus. But nope.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel so bad for artists in one respect, because like to not be able to go out on the road and not be able to do your thing. And that's tough. But the other side that I've been saying all along is I feel the absolute best music is going to come out of this pandemic, because you artists finally have a chance to slow down and let the creative juices flow and do it right.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened to The Art of a Maniac. The original schedule was rushed. We started recording in March of 2020, right before everything shut down. And we were going to try to have it out by July 2020. So I'm thinking in that timeline, it could have been done, but a lot of quality would have been lost.
Exactly.
So we really took our time to really listen to the mixes, sit on it for a couple of weeks, and then come back to it and even redo a couple of parts too. And so it's really proud of, like, we received the mixes late last year, and we still like it. That's a good sign.
Nice. And you know, I mean, listen, I hope that everybody takes the opportunity through this pandemic to kind of, you know, reevaluate that hamster wheel we were on, you know, because I think we needed this break. It was like we weren't going to break, so something slammed the brakes for us.
I agree. You know, like looking back to 2019 and 18, things were getting pretty hectic. Like, I'm not calling the pandemic a good thing, but it definitely was kind of forces you to self-reflect and look at everything in a different way.
Yeah. And, you know, as musicians, it used to be where you could take some time in the studio to write the music and everything else. And nowadays, everything is so rushed and so 24/7 that you don't have that chance anymore, which is why, you know, you have this great album right now, because I believe the pandemic.
Yeah, that's definitely one good thing to come out of it. It's to actually slow down and focus on one thing, because these days a lot of bands are recording in the studio and then the next week they're out on tour, and then they come back from tour, finish up in the studio. It's really different these days.
And as a musician, don't you have like a totally different, you know, vibe going on for yourself when you're in the studio opposed to when you're on stage? So it's kind of hard to switch back and forth, right?
Yes. Yeah. In the studio, you're kind of more, I call it more mental in the studio, because you're focusing on constructing something. As with live, you're focusing on perfection and, well, perfection on both, but you're on your stamina and trying to perform what you've written. Two different headspaces.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I don't think people listening right now even kind of get that, like, how hard that is. It's kind of like being bipolar in what we were living before.
Yeah, it's different. I call it kind of different kind of muscles.
Yeah.
Like you're using different muscles in the studio, and then you're using different muscles live. Because I always find if I've been... I haven't played live in a while, it always takes a while to get that energy back up.
Yeah, totally.
In the studio, you can take breaks, right? If you get worn out, you go take a break for an hour or so. But live, no, you're on stage for 40 to 60 minutes. You got to you got to keep going.
I think it's also about getting in the zone for things. Like, even perfect example with me, I took the holidays off from doing interviews. You know, I've been traveling and on the road, and today is the first day of 2022 that I'm doing interviews. And it's like, before the first one, I was in a mode of, wow, it's been kind of nice not doing interviews and just chilling. But then after, like, the second interview, and I have 11 today, and I was like, bring them on. I was like, bring them on. I was pumped and juiced because it was like, but it's that getting into a zone. You're in a different zone. So if you're constantly having to change zones, it makes it pretty hard.
Yeah, you get really distracted easy. That's the story of my life. Like, you know, you got to get into a rhythm with stuff, and then you kind of know exactly how you're going to execute everything. But when you're constantly pulled away to something else completely different, it's like, okay, I need to get back into another rhythm.
Exactly. So The Art of a Maniac is out on February 5th. And
yep.
Why don't you tell everybody how they can connect with you guys on social media, on the web, get the new music, get merch, get tour dates when there are some, all that good stuff.
You can go to our official website, www.timo.ca, and you can connect through all our social media pages, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Bandcamp. And we have all of our merch items for sale at our Bandcamp store. Just if you search Timo and Bandcamp, will come up, or you can access it through our website. And you'll be able to get all that information through there. And of course, The Art of a Maniac will be available on Spotify and iTunes and all of your digital media outlets. And if you're looking for physical copies of CDs, you can order them through us. We should have vinyl pretty soon in the future. We're working on that right now.
Nice. And if you are huge fans of Rick and Morty, then you will love Timo.
Exactly. We have, I believe, 2 songs now that are about Rick and Morty.
So,
of course, our
so are you like a Rick and Morty like fanatic?
I believe not so much myself. I probably couldn't quote the whole show, but our guitarist, Nick Schwartz, he's the one that introduced me to Rick and Morty. I think he could quote every episode. And he showed me a season, and I fell in love with it.
Nice.
I have to watch more, but I'm behind on the last 2 seasons. I got to catch up.
And I like stuff like that included into music. It's so cool when you like cross things like that. I call it like cross creative art, you know?
Yeah.
It's way cool.
Something so random, like a character like Crumbopulous Michael, could inspire us. Like,
right, exactly. It's kind of like Ice Nine Kills. Like, it always, it blows my mind how they take those movies and they come up with the music they do. It's so cool.
Yeah, you never know where inspiration's gonna come from. Like, it can come from some B movie or something you see on TV or life experience. I never ever thought we'd be writing songs about Rick and Morty, but here we are.
And that's why you have to be yourself and just let the creativity flow out, instead of trying to like fit things in a box or doing what the business says you should do. I think the most successful artists of any art are the ones that just do what they feel is right, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
Exactly. You can't force anything. Can't sit down and be like, I'm going to write a song about a serial killer or something like that. Like,
exactly.
No, you write what you're feeling.
Right. And it's got to be something you're into. It's kind of like the same thing with doing interviews. There's some interviews I won't do because, listen, if I can't have passion talking about whatever we're talking about, you know, there's plenty of people in my business. They'll do interviews with music artists of bands, especially when it comes to metal, that they have no clue who the band is. And I think especially in metal, you should be a metalhead if you're going to interview a metal band.
Exactly. It definitely helps. Like, you can tell with some interviews, like, where it's just all like really generic questions.
Yeah, exactly.
That apply to any band, right? Like, and they know, and nothing wrong with that, but.
they don't even know what they're asking anyway. Like, I've seen some interviews where they get, like, these really good answers, but they were good answers to me because I knew exactly what the dude was talking about. And you could see the person's look in their eyes like they had no clue what he was talking about. And,
yeah.
You know, and bands know at that point. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've watched compilations of, like, awkward interviews. It's pretty funny.
Right. That's what should be on TikTok, I think.
Yeah. Just like a compilation of awkward interviews.
Yeah, totally. Maybe I'll do that. I'll go around and I'll interview the awkward interviewers.
Yes. That'd actually be funny. Like, yeah, why do you ask these questions?
That's good stuff. So is there anything else we want to tell the listeners that we haven't touched on yet?
Be sure to check out The Art of a Maniac on February 5th. Give it a listen. Hope you like it. And we'll see you out there. Pandemic ever ends.
We definitely will. Sometime in this century.
Sometime in this century. I'll go into a cryogenic sleep if this thing lasts forever.
Yeah, so that's what we should probably do. There was a movie I saw recently where they did that, and they, you know, woke up thousands of years later. So
yep.
that might be the idea. It didn't work out in the end for them anyway, though, so it might not be the good idea either. So who knows? We don't know what the good idea yet is. The only good idea I know of is people have to check out Time Own. They have to get The Art of a Maniac on February 5th. That's all I know.
It'll definitely help.
Absolutely. Best medicine. It's the best medicine.
Yeah, it's medicine. It's positivity.
No doubt. Well, thanks for making the great music, and thanks for being on The Adventures of Pipe Man.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and stay safe out there.
You too.
Thank you for listening to The Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.